what are some, like, inflections? Is that the right word? Like common Natalie-isms and Katie-isms to see how it sounds.
Ah.
Mm. And also... That's such a me. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, true. True.
I also think it's important to note...
Just a Girl podcast, the podcast where we discuss anything and everything music industry and intersectional feminism related.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Natalie.
And this is episode 37.
Don't forget to rate and review us on whatever podcast platform you're listening on.
You can follow our socials at Just A Girl Pod, and you can email us at justagirlpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to share that you're listening.
So who have you been listening to lately, Katie?
This week I've been listening to The City Is Ours' new track, Dangerous.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
Oh my god, it's an absolute banger.
Oh my god, love.
I literally messaged Mikey like,
what the hell?
This is great.
Aww.
It's so good. I've been listening to All Ears Vowel's new song, Asleep at the Wheel.
Oh, I've not heard that either.
They're really good. I saw them at the Lanes and I've been rather obsessed with them ever since. And I've been listening to quite a lot of Enter Shikari this week as well.
Fantastic.
Particularly The Sights.
Did you get a ticket to the Bristol show?
No.
Same. But I am going to see them in Cardiff.
Oh. What about you? What have you been listening to?
I've been listening to... Pure Noise Records put out like a lo-fi album. Don't know if you've seen any of the tracks, but basically each artist, so like Knock Loose, State Champs, Seaway, they've got lo-fi versions of their songs on this album.
That sounds like hell.
It is quite nice.
Yeah, nice for you, hell for me.
It's a bit weird because the melodies just sound like ringtones. I feel like they should have just cut those out. But anyway, I've also been listening to the new Sleep Token song, Alkaline. And
sorry, I was laughing because I accidentally called a vessel parcel the other day.
Oh, Katie. I thought you were doing your whole like, I don't like Sleep Token.
Well, I also don't like Sleep Token. I appreciate that they're a great band, but they're not for me.
Okay, fair enough. And the new Mayday Parade song, Kids of Summer.
What?
Yeah.
I love Mayday Parade.
Oh my god, it's so good. I'm surprised it wasn't on your release radar.
I know. My release radar is a pile of poo.
It's fucked.
It's fucked. So, Natalie, what are we talking about this week?
So, this week we are going to be discussing crowdfunding.
Woo! Yes, we're going to talk about reasons why artists or bands might crowdfund, what misconceptions there may be, and also some like pros and cons about crowdfunding and everything in between.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
let's begin.
Oh my god, interesting approach you took there.
Yeah, got my blazer, haven't I?
Oh yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
So, I think we should start with a quick definition of crowdfunding for those who might not know, and also to set the premise about what we're going to be referring to for the episode. So, my perception of crowdfunding is when artists or bands ask their fans to donate a relatively small amount of money to help promote their music or to create an album or fund a project, essentially. Is that similar to what you would say?
Yeah, I put it a bit more broadly, but I said a project slash venture where creators are given small amounts of money to fulfill this project slash venture through people on the internet, specifically.
Yeah, so some famous crowdfunding platforms include GoFundMe, Kickstarter.
Yes.
And you basically set a target for how much you want to raise and a deadline for when you want to raise it by.
Mm-hmm.
With Kickstarter, if you reach the goal in time, you keep the money and Kickstarter take 5%. But if you don't meet the goal, then every donation is refunded, which to me is like, what? Might as well just use the money.
I think it's pretty fair. I think it seems fair because I think it encourages people to do it in time for the deadline, really.
Fair, good point.
Especially like if you are creating an album, obviously, you know, if you're, and we'll get onto this, if you're crowdfunding, you're probably going a bit more independent, but you still want to get it completed in time.
Yes. Also important to note that it's different to like Patreon. So patrons are ongoing rather than for a specific project.
Defo. So I would be interested in hearing whether you have ever contributed to a crowdfund / Kickstarter / anything, any of the other platforms.
Not that I can remember.
Oh, really?
I felt quite guilty, actually, when I was prepping for this episode, when I realised that I had never, to my memory, contributed to a crowdfund for an artist.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I normally support by buying merch or like Bandcamp Friday, things like that.
Oh, okay.
But what about you?
Yeah, quite a few, actually, in my time, obviously, like being such a little fangirl. So I contributed to a crowdfunding campaign for The Blackout.
Nice.
This is before their album Hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a thing where you could, if you pledge a certain amount, because this was on Pledge Music. Pledge Music is now vanished. I don't know the good word for it. It's stopped. You could pledge and get your name on the album. So my name's on the album, amongst loads of other people's names. And also you could, if you paid a certain amount, you could also like have a first listen of the album at this like listening party, basically. But I know some people who paid like £500 to have them like play at their house.
Whoa.
Obviously, like they got other people involved, like other friends and stuff. But yeah, it happened in their house. People have like Sean DJ at their school disco or something, like all kinds of stuff like that. It went from like the bare minimum to like, you know, being up close and personal.
I have always wanted to know whether it's possible to get an artist that you love to like come and play at your house. And I know that like everybody has their price.
Yeah.
But also it feels a little bit creepy to be like, Hayley Williams, come do a private set of Petals for Armour in my bedroom. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. But also at the same time, I think artists, they're going to charge fucking loads, aren't they? So it's like, you don't have to, but people are likely to have a purpose. Like, for example, I don't know if I should reveal this. Henry and I have been like, oh, if we ever get married, like, who will play our wedding? And we both decided the Menzingers would play our wedding. And I had a look, I was like, I wonder how much it costs. It's like £15,000, which is not totally outrageous. Is that outrageous?
I mean,
am I quite out of touch? Am I a Tory?
You're a landlord. I think, bearing in mind, weddings generally cost around 20 to 40 grand.
Oh, is that
that's quite a large chunk.
But for the Menzingers, though, a famous band,
how much do you reckon Ronan Keating would charge?
50,000 plus. He's mega famous. Better start saving. Some others as well, like Kids in Glass Houses, before they broke up, did a like pledge kind of thing where you could like pay for meet and greets. It was only like £15, but you could do it, which was cool. And then who else? Oh, While She Sleeps for You Are We did a Pledge Music thing, I think. And I didn't do anything like any of the exclusives, but it was like buy a ticket, buy the album, but bundle type thing, and then you help contribute to creating the album, I guess.
So I think the reason that I haven't contributed to any is because I haven't actually seen any. And I think a large part of crowdfunding is web presence and social media presence. And I think when you just mentioned While She Sleeps, I don't think I was that active on social media when they did that, because that's something that I definitely would have contributed to. Because I have a tendency to be like too generous, which bankrupts me quite a lot of the time. So if there's something I can support, I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, totally.
But I guess like a reason that I wouldn't is if I couldn't afford it or if I didn't know the artist. But I can't really think of any other reasons why I wouldn't. What about you?
I think so the reasons I did was because basically like I just loved a band so much. This is for Kids in Glasses on the Blackout. Loved them so much that I was like, I want to be part of these exclusives and I want to have these experiences. It wasn't a case of like, I want to be better, but it was also a bit of like, the people that I knew through the band, I wanted to be part of like their group almost, or like the association that they have with that band to also be included in that, I think.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think reflecting on what Mike said from Clean Cut Kid when we interviewed them, it's bizarre that we do get music practically for free now.
Yeah.
Obviously we pay for Spotify Premium, but I think it's more, I think fans can underestimate how much of the band's own money goes into like,
oh my God,
putting an album together, mastering it, promoting it, etc. So I would definitely contribute to a crowdfund if I saw one now. So don't judge me if I'm not in the past.
So Why don't you tell me the reasons that you think artists crowdfund?
So I've actually got some examples to back this up, but I would assume that bands crowdfund essentially just to support album releases, help promote their music. And also, it's not news that bands need money.
Yeah, totally.
There's a common misconception around how much money bands make.
Mm-hmm.
There was a really interesting, I don't know whether you'd call it crowdfunding, but I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. So King Charles, who I absolutely simp, released a song recently called Animal. This song, by the way, totally reignited my love for this kind of music, which was lovely.
Oh, wow.
But he used a platform called Co-Write, and basically fans directly invest in the release of a song. So you donate money, and then you potentially make a return on that investment based on how many streams the song gets.
Oh, yeah, I actually saw this. I don't know why. It must have been from you.
Yeah, so I was going to donate, but I saw it at, like, the end of the month when, you know, times are a bit trickier.
Aww.
And the minimum was a tenner, which for some people isn't a lot of money. And in my context, I could have afforded that. But because King Charles is a relatively small artist, I was a little bit like, I don't want to take away from any profit that he might make from the minimal streams that song will get. And I know that's not the right way to approach it, but I was a bit like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it's a really cool platform.
Yeah, totally.
But back to why artists crowdfund, what do you think?
It's kind of similar, really, is that artists need the money, essentially.
Mm.
Especially if they've gone independent, they've rid themselves of the label. You're so right about the misconception, because I remember talking to an old housemate of mine. I can't remember which artist we were on about. Someone playing like the Fleece, or a quite small venue.
Mm.
He's like, oh, but they're a musician, they're loaded. And he's quite like clued up on stuff related to business and money. Not when it came to music, though, because he was like, they must be loaded. I'm like, no, I don't think you understand, like, how little musicians make. He's like, no, they must make loads because of all of this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but that goes back to the record labels or the PRs or the management.
Yeah.
Or they don't make any money, or if they do, it's less than minimum wage, if that. And that's for, like, quite successful people. Like, they have to have second jobs. But for some reason, he just didn't want to believe it.
I think there are quite a few misconceptions. I've also heard bands are lazy. I actually think that the fact that they start a crowdfunder shows the complete opposite.
Yeah,
I think it's a very proactive thing to do.
I've
also heard that they should give us something in return for donating to a crowdfunder, which they are. It's their music.
Mm, exactly. Or if you're paying more, it's the benefits that they are also providing.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard another misconception. This was years and years and years ago, but it's always stuck with me. It's crowdfunding is career suicide for musicians.
What?
Is what they said, yeah. I think the reason behind it was, oh, they're clearly not selling enough, they're clearly not making enough on tour, blah, blah, merch, that they then have to try and raise more money by crowdfunding.
Mm.
Like, why is this band not successful without it?
So there was an artist called Rob Harris.
Oh, who's
that? So he funded his entire album on a platform called Indiegogo in
five days
with no fan base. So there was I read this article by a guy called Ian Henderson for Launch and Release.
Mm.
And Rob Harris basically said that there are people in the world that want to help you and want to see you succeed.
Wow.
And so he just put his hope in this thing and it worked.
Oh my God.
So I think that's like a really lovely outlook to have on the world. And it kind of contradicts another misconception I've heard, which is, it's not my job to fund their album.
Mm.
And I guess there is a point there, but also it's not very socialist outlook, is it?
It's not socialist, and it's also just not how entertainment works or any kind of service. You know, actors, people in TV, musicians, they're all doing, it's all a job, you know, it's all a business at the end of the day. Like, how is it expected to work and continue if we have this attitude of, oh, we're not supposed to fund it? There's a bit of entitlement there of people being like, but music's free. Of course
Absolutely.
It is right now, but you have to think about other things.
I guess it depends on your level of how much you like the band.
Yeah.
Because I'm happy to, like, I buy merch, I buy vinyls or whatever it's called, records. And I never look at that as well. I get the music for free, so...
Yeah, no, totally. And I always think as well, if I love an album that much that I keep on listening to it, I have it on repeat, then I will buy it because, you know, it's worth paying for.
Mm.
I wanted to say something, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, I always call them vinyls, but apparently, like, it's not a cool thing to say.
So it's because it's made out of vinyl that it's... Yeah. It's not a vinyl, it's on vinyl. But I'm always like, I've got three vinyls. I don't have six vinyls, actually. Mom. But yeah, it's not cool, apparently. But I'm going to carry on saying.
Oh, okay, let's carry on. Let's normalise using vinyls as records.
Do you think Do you think there could potentially be an argument as well about how much the fundraising platform profits?
What do you mean, sorry, an argument that it's bad?
Or potentially a misconception about how much the fundraising platform makes. For example, if I was to donate to somebody's crowdfunder, whatever, and the platform they were using to crowdfund took 20% of those profits, do you think that would put some people off?
Potentially, to be fair, because it's the same as, like, not as extreme perhaps, but Amazon, for example. People try not to buy off Amazon because it's taking a lot of profits away from the actual businesses. However, at the same time, how else are these artists going to raise money if these platforms didn't exist?
Agree.
Oh, love it.
Put their PayPal link out. So should we discuss some pros and cons for crowdfunding from a fan's perspective?
Yes. So let's start with pros. So I feel, as somebody who has contributed, these are sort of like the pros that I saw. So firstly, I feel like I've contributed. I'm like, wow, like I've done something to help this band. Love that. I think another pro is just the perks of the exclusivity. You know, for example, like on Patreon and stuff, obviously, I know we said it's not the same because it's not a finite ending, but, you know, the perks of having a phone call or having a handwritten letter or having all the things, I think is just like quite nice stuff, especially if you love something so much. Getting recognition for your dedication, I think, is a really big part of it as well. You know, for example, like the Blackout stuff. Getting the recognition by having my name in the album was great. And I think we mentioned that briefly in the fangirling episode.
Yeah.
Is that, like, people don't like it when people don't come out to see them. Because obviously, like, you know, they travelled to see the gig and they stayed all the way and enjoyed themselves. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then also, like, connecting with other fans, I think, is a great pro. For like, you know, like I just mentioned with my one, I got to, like, hang out with all my friends for the day as well as hang out with the band. And it's just a really nice experience.
Yeah, it's interesting what you said about sort of getting that recognition, because one of my pros was it changes the power dynamic between a band and a fan.
Oh, because
I think when the band is asking their fans for help, essentially, it kind of alters that dynamic of power between the two, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, that's such a good point.
I also said, to put it bluntly, you're putting your money where your mouth is. You're literally investing in a band or a musician.
Totally.
And also, fans could feel, or they might like to feel, a certain sense of responsibility for kind of helping artists reach their goal or a milestone or something, which is nice. And also, more music.
Oh my God.
More content.
Everybody loves new music. And what about the cons? What cons do you see as a fan for crowdfunding?
So the only con I could think of were the misconceptions or misinformation about it, and just parting with your money, I guess.
Oh,
because
okay.
It's not, I don't think that's a con, but I think one could perceive that as a con of crowdfunding, where, oh, I really want them to make new music, but I have to pay for it.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's kind of how people feel about pre-orders. They're like, oh, I have to, like, spend £20 6 months in advance, and I don't see it until 6 months later.
But that's going to lead me on to one of my later points about pros from an artist perspective, where they can kind of check whether there's sufficient demand for their music before they commit to releasing it. So, you know, it depends which...
Yeah.
Who you are.
Yeah, totally. But like you said, we'll get onto that in a bit.
But yeah, other than that, I couldn't think of any cons. What about you?
Yeah, I think that there were a couple, again, that I recognised. So I think there's a bit of a gatekeeping element with it, especially with new crowdfunding projects that we're seeing lately.
Great point.
Yeah, it's that, like, people are like, oh, well, you didn't do this thing, or, you know, I've had this band in my house, and classic gatekeeping. Well, it's not gatekeeping. No, it is gatekeeping.
Yeah, or at least competitiveness.
Elitism.
About, yeah, yeah. Like, well, I paid money for this album. Boom.
Great impression.
Thank you.
And then also, not everyone can afford to even do the minimum.
Yeah, which is, and then a shame. It might make them feel guilty.
Yeah, exactly. Or feel less of a fan or whatever. Those were the comments that I saw.
Maybe that's what Welcome to the Guilty Party is about. People who aren't on a While She Sleeps patron.
Oh, my fucking God.
Then you're either in the sleep society or the guilty party. There's no in between. Cracked it, boys.
Oh my God, you're so clever, Katie.
Thanks, mate.
And how about the pros from a musician's perspective, then? You just mentioned one.
Yeah, so as I said, it allows bands to check the demand before they commit to releasing music. I guess they don't need a label to do it. They can be more independent, they can have more autonomy over their music. And they can also use goal setting and marketing tools. So, for example, 50 quid by Thursday, social media and stuff, to optimize the support from their fans.
Mm.
By that, I mean, if you're already a fan of a musician and they then say that they're going to do crowdfunding, that would make people's support stronger, potentially.
Yeah, totally see those, sure.
What do you think?
I think there's one which is they can become closer to fans because they can connect with them more on like a face-to-face level, know their names, etc. Similar to what you said, they have the means to become independent artists, have their own control, and also get some PR out of it. I mean, we did our own research and saw so many examples, so many articles of people being like, this artist is now doing this, this artist is now doing this, blah, blah, blah. It makes for an interesting web piece.
Absolutely. And what are some cons for the artists?
So similar to what you said, the negative connotations about your band if you do crowdfund. I don't think this is the case so much anymore because it feels way more common than it was however many years ago. But that could be an element of it. I think it's arguably way more work because it's not just a case of writing an album, recording it, releasing it, PR for it. It's all the other stuff on top, like the writing handwritten letters, having calls with people, traveling to someone's house.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
There's no guarantee that it will succeed, like you mentioned at the very beginning, and everyone's money just goes back into their banks, which also, if it doesn't succeed, I think your reputation is on the line a little bit, because it's like, oh, this person wasn't successful enough to even have the crowdfunder. And I don't know if this is the case for you personally, but I think a lot of people are a bit bored of this crowdfunding now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think this relates to my only con I had, actually, which was it could segment their fan base. And I think that's the only thing that I'm bored of is elitism within fan bases. And also, yeah, I mean, it feels rude or unkind to say I'm bored of supporting it, but I think it's also okay to admit that sometimes it is a little bit overbearing when it's just everywhere. But yeah, I think that's a really good point, especially perhaps like the mood of the industry is altered rather than people are bored. But yeah,
definitely.
it has evolved, shall we say.
Yeah, I also wonder whether there's a part which is like the fans feel a lot of responsibility now as well for keeping these artists alive. And I know that kind of was always the case because it just depended on people listening and that kind of thing. But I think perhaps in the past it was a bit more 50-50 because it was like, okay, you've got to write something good and then people will be interested.
Yeah.
But now it's like, we just need fans to help us write something, you know?
And considering the scene, it's potentially not a good idea for artists to get closer with their fans. Just
God,
bloody
no,
saying.
God, no.
Don't mind me, just having my two cents.
It was really interesting, actually, because I read this article ages ago about the Blackout's Pledge Music thing that I mentioned. So Gavin, the other singer of the Blackout, said that he thought it was going to be a model that a lot of bands are going to use in the future because it worked so well for them. So he mentioned that Funeral for a Friend had done it, Charlie Simpson had done it, Fightstar had done it. And then I feel like there was a dip in people doing it because of this misconception.
Yeah.
But actually now it seems that loads of people are doing it again. So I feel like he was right. He was onto something back in 2012, I think it was.
Wow.
So do you have any examples, Katie, of where crowdfunding has worked for musicians?
So I mentioned Rob Harris previously, yeah. who did it in 5 days with no fan base, which amazing. I just love that story. Mm. And there was a band called Misery Signals who also did this on Indiegogo. I also have already mentioned King Charles. I really liked his take on why he used Co-Write to do this. He said, "The marketing and success of this record will become a shared vision in spreading the message, sharing the story, and making something happen together," which I think is a really nice way to look at creating music. But apart from that, I know not that much about artists who have crowdfunded, as I said, so no.
Well, that is more examples than I know of, because the one that I've got in mind in particular is the one I mentioned before, was While She Sleeps, You Are We one, because it didn't damage their reputation at all. In fact, they're like bigger than ever now. That album also, like back then, was their most successful album of all time. I think it got like top 5 in the album charts.
Yeah.
Which was incredible for a band of that genre, because that was when metal really felt like it was dying.
Yeah, you're right. It did, didn't it?
Yeah. That's my example. Oh, I did actually read some. I forgot I did research some others ages ago. Mm. The Libertines did one in 2015. I know, like, neither of us are that bothered.
Gross.
That crowdfunded album got number 3 in the UK album charts.
You know, when you were like, "Oh, have you got Natalie by Bruno Mars on your playlist?"
Oh, yeah.
One of the only songs I know with my name in it is What Katie Did by the Libertines.
Oh.
And it's a really sad song. So if anyone's listening and would like to write a song with my name in it.
Adam, looking at you.
It would just be like, Katie.
Katie. That song, Natalie, is really funny because I made Henry listen to it and the lyrics are like, "Natalie, she ran away and no, she took all my money," or something like that. Something about being a gold digger. And Henry was like, "Oh, this is so true." And I was like, "I'm not." I kind of am.
Buy me another frying pan. Have you got any examples of where crowdfunding has like fully backfired?
So I think part of why there is such a misconception as well is examples like these. So ages ago, and I really struggled to find anything about it online apart from tweets. I went through like, you know, the deep Twitter search. And Sam McIntyre from Marmosets, I think he's the guitarist. I remember him asking, he created a crowdfunder to get fans to pay for his wedding.
What?
Yes.
Go on, don't tell the bride.
I know. Well, this is the thing. So happened, I think it was completely innocent. Like just being like, "Oh, people could probably help us out. Like, let's do a crowdfund." And it totally backfired because people were like, "You're taking advantage of your fans. Like, you know, you've got really dedicated fans who want you to be happy and blah, blah, blah," all this kind of stuff. Because it's not for something that they can... What's the word? They can get any... Yeah, they can't benefit from it. They can't get any enjoyment from it.
Yeah, and I think it's quite of the time at the moment for people to do crowdfunding about stuff that relates to a community. So, for example, I see a lot of trans people on Twitter who have GoFundMes for their top surgery or surgery or counselling or stuff, which is amazing. And I fully support that because it's a way to actively support somebody within a marginalised community.
Yeah.
Whereas, hey, for my wedding.
I know, that's the thing. It's like top surgery, or for example, I've seen people crowdfund for endometriosis surgery.
Yeah.
Is like almost life, it's life-changing things. It almost kind of like, I'm not saying that weddings aren't life-changing. They obviously are to some degree, but
it's a power dynamic as well of, I'm somebody that's admired by fans pay for my wedding rather than I'm struggling to afford surgery.
Yeah,
and
that's
it's
so
having
true.
An effect on my mental health. It's, but I know that you probably feel guilty saying negative things towards this person for crowdfunding, but we are allowed to have a critical opinion on something that's a little bit shitty.
Totally. But it was interesting because when I only found 2 tweets, and one was positive, being like, "Oh, I hope he gets the money for the wedding." And then one just being like, wait, hang on, let me read it out. who is Sam Marmoset's McIntyre and why is he asking me to pay towards his wedding costs?
And I mean, I'm totally ignorant about this. There might have been a really valuable, important, relevant reason why... valid reason why he did that. I don't know, but on the surface...
Grow up. Totally. When I was in Leeds the other day, I walked past this girl and I was like, wow, like, she's fucking stunning. Who's this guy that she's with? I wonder whether, like, he's just as stunning. And I looked at him and I was like, not as stunning, unfortunately. And then as I walked past, I was like, wait, that's Sam from Marmoset's. I know, it's still good looking, but this girl was like a goddess.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Love her.
Yeah, I know, right? So, what are your thoughts about the state of crowdfunding in 2021?
So, I think, perhaps not the state, but my perception of it, mm-hmm. I think it's probably quite a good time to do it. I feel like people in today's society are very active in their support for things. Yeah. And we can share stuff on social media and gain extra support, extra momentum. It's also a sign of... So crowdfunding is a good sign of support and loyalty, etc., from fans, but it's also a show of how, like, social media savvy a band is as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good time to kind of use those skills to optimize the support that you're going to get.
Totally.
Because you also need to generate enough traffic to the page for people to actually donate and, and make the thing engaging enough and clickable enough for people to want to go on it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of skill that goes into it that I think people have more of nowadays.
It's marketing, essentially, isn't it? It's knowing your target personas, i.e. your fans, and whether you think that your fans are, you know, have the means to pay, like you enough to pay, etc. And then, making sure that it gets in front of their eyes.
Eyes. You said that so nice.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were going to make fun of me.
Oh, no, I liked it. What do you think of the state of fundraising, crowdraising, crowdfunding? Thank you. Jesus.
I mentioned this before, but I think that perceptions have definitely changed from the misconceptions that I mentioned earlier about, you know, it being career suicide. Because, yeah, it's a lot more common. It's a lot less of a taboo. Because, like you said, artists and fans are fully aware that there isn't any money in music anymore, so are more willing to participate. Especially if you think about, like, While She Sleeps, they know that there's no money in music, so have utilised the Patreon method of, you know, monthly subscription, get all these things, and it guarantees, obviously, until someone unsubscribes, it guarantees a monthly income for them.
They've done it almost like a corporate business, like customer service.
Yeah.
They've got this community who... they are delighting every month with this content that they're putting out there and keeping them in this community and trying to build upon that. It's literally like a sales and marketing model. It's really interesting.
Totally. Clever. It is clever. And that was really interesting because obviously this was the second crowdfunding thing that they've done. It obviously worked so well for them for You Are We that they thought, why not adapt it to the modern day?
Yeah.
And make it work.
They do make good music.
And I think, don't quote me on this, even though I'm putting it out on this podcast, I think Employed to Serve have done the same thing. Because I was like, oh my God, I might actually subscribe. Then I was like, I can't actually afford to subscribe.
I'm just not that level of fan with patrons. Like, I think there's potentially four bands I would care enough about to get monthly updates on.
Who?
Clean Cut Kid.
Mm-hmm.
Bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
While She Sleeps.
No, but that's interesting you say that because I think we both recognise this whole sleep society. It's worked for them, it works for fans, that's great, but there definitely is the whole, like, elitist. It hasn't helped create that divide, I think.
No, I'm not, I lied when I said four, it's only Clean Cut Kid, to be honest. But, yeah, I mean, it's great for fans that want that, and I think it's a really lovely thing. I'm just not that much of an intense fan.
Yeah, which that's fine. Completely fair enough.
So, thank you for that conversation.
No problem. I hope it was okay.
The end.
Yes.
Let's have spaghetti bolognese.
Yummy.
Yummy.
Did you bring cheese?
No, I forgot. Oh, I literally, on my way here, was like, fuck. Oh. I was going to do a tweet, like, forgot the vegan cheese rib.
That's too late now.
Hide me from Natalie.
No, I've got loads of nutritional yeast, so.
Perfect.